hosed down with some sort of lubricant.
Turn it around.
No, I'm busy looking at it. You look at the back. Look at the back cover. I think it's Claudia Schiffer.
Yeah, the back cover's not bad either, but...
You'll look at this when I'm done absorbing it all. That's when you'll see it. Yeah, Jessica Simpson looks like she's been sprayed down with some sort of grease. And then there's another picture of Britney. But let's just talk about this culture that we're in for a moment. Unlike Michael Powell, who is a fat, nattering boob, let me just say this. That I think it's a high sign of American culture that I'm looking at this copy of Blender magazine. And right here on the front cover, like up here in the corner, is a picture of Britney Spears kissing Madonna. But how great a culture are we living in when I could just sort of go, eh, and just sort of move over that to something better? You know what I mean? When they put a picture of Britney kissing Madonna on the front cover, and it's not even the best thing there. It's not even the best picture on the front.
You know, in that issue, they have the what they call the 25 sexiest moments in TV.
Yes. Yes, I'm looking at that right here.
Yeah, so there's supposed to be a pretty good list.
That and my new issue of Gothic Beauty came on the same day. Good to be me today. Excellent. Well done, me. All right. Let's hear it for me. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk at Eddie KOTK in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 3 minutes and 52 seconds after the hour of 12, and this is the month of February in the year of our Lord, 2004. Thank you for coming by. We're here with Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. I just made a brief list of the things we'll be getting to. CNN radio correspondent John Bisney is going to be here later on to talk about a couple things. There's this whole... This whole business of Janet Jackson's boob continues to go on like a many-headed hydra of media domination. So we'll be hearing from him about that, talking about... I mean, he probably won't intend to come on and talk about how the FCC, and specifically Michael Powell, are sexless, puritanical prudes who are completely out of touch with the American zeitgeist, but that really will be the upshot of his discussion with us. We're also going to talk about Howard Dean, who continues to circle the drain slowly like a bad clump of wet, soggy tissue. We have a Britney watch coming to this hour. Clergy watch. Probably the best geek watch of the week since the Star Wars one turned up since its appointment. We have a great chainsaw accident story. We have a tale of a man fed to lions and the best shark bite story you're going to hear all year. That's all coming up. Plus your phone calls. Later on, today's top five celebrities born in the month of February. Top five musical celebrities born in the month of February. Plus Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from your personal savior, Tim Riley, in the KOTK newsroom. This is Hot Talk Tonight at KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be through. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I got the traffic with Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's the radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A man who set his own house on fire after an argument with his son has been sentenced to 18 months in prison. 44-year-old Harry Keeney of Willamina pleading guilty to charges of arson and tampering with a witness. This all started when the elder Keeney arrived home December 29th to find his son's dog had urinated in his bedroom. Actually, an argument ensued. And the youngster stormed out of his father's house to sleep over at a friend's. So, the father goes to the friend's house and tells the youngster
if you don't come home right now, I'm going to burn the house down. Well, of course, the youngster refused to leave. So the oldster went home and set the couch on fire. Shortly thereafter, the father calls 911 to report both the fire and his intent to commit suicide because the dog urinated on the floor. It's getting pretty bad in here, baby. I want to die, he told the dispatcher. Bye-bye, baby. Firefighters arrived to find him in his front yard. Kevin was sick but unharmed. The house didn't fare so well. They estimated damage $70,000.
Where the hell is this at?
Willamina.
Which is where?
South of McMinnville.
Right, oh, I thought this was somewhere far, far away.
No, this is here. I used to live in Willamina.
Actually. Yeah. It's damn people are stupid.
It's in Yamhill County.
Okay.
And then Kinney compounded his troubles the day after the fire when he called his son to ask him to change his story, how he told police the fire started. This is witness tampering.
So, excellent.
All because the dog peed on the floor.
Well, can I just tell you this? Jolie is covered head to toe in dog hair today. I don't know what the hell that's all about. I mean, they make lint brushes. I mean, I don't have one either. I mean, it's like I'm all speckly, but that's just because my crap was sitting on the floor. She came in today and she's like, "What? They got the and why is it the people who own dogs or cats or animals of a certain hair color always wear clothing that's the opposite color? You know what I mean? Do you ever notice that people who have white haired dogs are constantly just wearing black sweaters everywhere they go or coats, not unlike those belonging to Tim Riley, just covered with the hair of." You know,
hair sticks to things more than hair of others.
Well, and then I'm doing that thing this morning where it's like I woke up and I put on the black sweater, you know, and then it's like 5 minutes before I have to leave the house and I realize that I'm covered with lint because it's been sitting on the floor, just sort of being trampled on, you know, but I woke up late and it was like the first thing I could find. And plus, let me just tell you this, if you see a guy wearing a sweater, the odds are like 2 in 3 that he's wearing that sweater because he woke up late. That's the reason guys wear sweaters. Guys wear sweaters because they woke up too late, they don't have time to iron anything, they can't find a shirt, they're not able to button anything correctly, so the sweater's there and they can just put it on. So I put on the sweater, and it's like and you do that thing when you're a guy where you take a cursory pass by the mirror in the morning, and I guess I look okay. You're getting ready to stumble out the front door sort of drunkenly to face the morning. But I realize I got all this lint on me, and, you know, and so it's like I get to work, I have no lint brush, and then the only you know, and here's the thing. If you don't have a lint brush, even if you have a lint brush, you have to use that in the privacy of your home. Otherwise, you just look flaky. You know what I mean? But once you get to work, if you don't have a lint brush, you're screwed because the only alternative is to do that thing where you wrap your hand in tape, and then you're sitting there patting yourself down with a tapey hand. So you look fruity and poor at the same time. You know what I mean? You look like one of the Queer Eye guys homeless. So... I forget what we were even talking about when I started this. Dogs and the thing, and here's Tim Riley.
Well, we're going to take you to the Westminster Dog Show a little bit later, so that's a coming attraction. Meanwhile, Viacom President Mel Kamajian groveled before Trent Lott and his cohorts on Capitol Hill today, expressing shock and awe over, you guessed it, Janet Jackson's boob.
Was shocked and appalled and embarrassed by what transpired. Ms. Jackson... unrehearsed and unapproved display went far beyond what is acceptable standards for our broadcast network.
I'll make sure to note that the man behind the syndication of Howard Stern is shocked and appalled by the fact that a boob was shown somewhere.
Then we have NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue, who told the House Subcommittee on...
Are you just making these names up?
No.
There's no one named Tagliabue.
That's what his name is.
Is he a rapper?
It's actually Paul Tagliabue.
See?
Really?
It's an extra syllable.
It really is.
Yeah. He's the NFL commissioner.
He sounds like a guy who should be that part of the West Side Connection or something.
He's got friends.
He's out there. Yeah.
But anyway, he tells the House Subcommittee on Exposed Boobs that Janet Jackson's antics ruined the Super Bowl for everyone.
It's the most perverse outcome that we could imagine.
You got a lackluster imagination, friend.
My own ineptitude and the ineptitude of others. The super performances of our athletes, Tom Brady, Jake DeLome, and others, and maybe the most thrilling Super Bowl game we've ever had, have been totally lost in the wilderness of Hollywood.
Let me just say,
as it should be.
If the exposure of one breast for half a second is the most perverse thing you can imagine, all I got to say is I feel for your wife, my friend. I feel sad for your wife, and I mean, it kind of goes without saying that... It goes without saying you have no children, because I mean, just imagine if your brain was so tiny. Imagine if your brain and your sense of self and sexuality were so small that that was the dirtiest, most perverse thing you can imagine. It's like we're back in the Little House on the Prairie days, and the kids are gathering around getting all worked up over a Sears catalog where you see some chick's ankle.
Like the sale of witch trials. Meanwhile, officials at Comcast held a press conference in New York City this morning to officially announce they want to buy Walt Disney. Comcast President and CEO Brian Roberts said the timing is right for the merger.
This combination would create one of the world's premier entertainment and distribution companies, an attempt to restore the Disney brand name to its prominence and the Disney company to the growth through the marriage of content and distribution.
Yeah, so you're marrying together two companies that no one likes and have been fleecing the American public for years, and you're expecting to... That's like mixing cigarette ashes and dog crap together and expecting to get ice cream or something out of it. Because Comcast... Because Disney's merely uninteresting and evil, whereas Comcast is sort of the... I mean, they're sort of actively inept. You know, they're sort of like... They sort of seem to get up a little early in the morning so they can raise their incompetence to the next level.
Meanwhile, President Bush is calling for a new global measure to go after the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, like they're out there. Condoleezza Rice rejects suggestions that the speech was trying to divert attention about the president's military service record.
It's just frankly ridiculous. We've been working on this problem of weapons of mass destruction for quite a long time. The president has wanted to give this speech for quite a long time.
So the president makes a speech about terrorism, and is almost drawn up by some mysterious transmission.
What has changed in the 21st century is that in the hands of terrorists, weapons of mass destruction would be a first resort, the preferred means to further their ideology of suicide and random murder.
It's good to know that Clyde wanted to do any show prep for this weekend. Clyde's at home, fully, you know, just fully paying attention to the radio, jotting things down for Friday already. Excellent, well done. You know that, and that was real this morning because we saw that on CNN.
And they couldn't do anything about
it. And Miles O'Brien, we don't know where it's coming from. I don't know. Maybe the
Astros, Cuba. I bet.
Maybe the circuits inside Bush's head from which Karl Rove transmits all his thoughts, or they've gone nuts or something. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like. Am I the only one who had a grandmother that bought one of those police scanners and just sat by it all day waiting to hear fatal accidents?
My mom had one.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, grandfather has one.
Yeah, it's always old people. You never knew anybody who was. I mean, unless they were just dorks. I mean, you never knew, which I guess is always possible. But you never knew anybody young. You know, who bought one of those Bearcat police scanners. It was always somebody who's like 68 years old, you know, taking the time off from reading a Mary Marple murder mystery or whatever. It's sitting there, my grandmother, sitting there in the living room, chain-smoking Pall Malls in her, you know, never want to get, and just only taking time out to watch Wheel of Fortune at noon. And just sitting there waiting to hear, you know, beheading stories on the police scanner or something.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
A fifth grader with a rare deformity says two teachers put him on display for a science lesson. This happened in Texas.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have.
Robert Harris has Stahl's ear, which gives him pointy ears, kind of a la Mr. Spock. He and the family say two fourth grade teachers at his school in Rice, Texas, use his deformity to teach a lesson in genetics. The boy says the teachers pulled him out of class twice in one day and took him to the classroom and told him to show those ears. Officials at the Rice Independent School District acknowledge the incidents happened, but say the teachers meant no harm. They were just trying to teach genetic mutation.
Okay. Black jackets for everyone at that school. It's like I got on the bus this morning, and I don't know what... I don't know if this is like I'm being punished for something or whatever, or if it's like the universe just waits for me. I was riding the bus this morning, and, you know, lately I've been driving the car and whatnot, but occasionally, you know, I still try to be a good citizen every now and again. Take the bus. Try to, you know, use Portland's, you know, mass transit system, which is here, which makes the world a better place.
It's the best in the country.
It is. I mean, that's the thing, you know, and we make fun. But, you know, you go to another city and you start to appreciate what, I mean, even like the MAX, even if you're somebody who doesn't take the bus, like the MAX downtown alone. You go to Seattle, man, they have the monorail, but... But it's useless. It doesn't do anything. The monorail in Seattle doesn't help anything at all. It doesn't make anything better in any discernible way. But, like... you know, they've been fighting. There's all kinds of cities in America. They've been fighting to keep light rail out, and they're retarded because they don't understand how much it benefits, the traffic situation. But anyway, so I'm taking the bus this morning, and this is like four of the last five times I've ridden the bus. It's like I get on, and then two stops later, it's a gang of retarded children. Not like an actual gang. Although that's a pretty amusing idea. Instead of, it gives a whole new meaning to the word Crips, I guess. Oh, come on. Don't give me what... Come on, you thought of that, too. I just said it out loud. You damn Pete.
See, there was the line there, and you'd gone up to the line, and you'd made the joke, and then you, like, jumped wholeheartedly over the line to sell the joke.
Oh, come on, because then you just think of some cheesily produced Roger Corman film with two gangs of retarded children fighting it out in a turf battle.
Whitney High.
The kids of Whitney High calling out, you know, whoever, somebody else. And, you know, I mean...
Whitney High story.
Yeah. I don't even know what I was talking about now. Oh, but yeah, never mind. Then it's just the soft rustling of plastic pants as they're all getting on the bus, you know, it's... What? Really? Okay. Well, yeah. John Bisney's here ahead of time for no readily apparent reason. I guess because he just can't wait to talk to me. Is it on the board?
Yeah, it's on the board.
I guess it is. That's my fault. Let's just stop and compose ourselves for just a moment. Okay, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our man on Capitol Hill, CNN radio correspondent, John Bisney. How are you, my friend?
I appreciate that, Rick. Thanks for getting all set up.
Yeah, let's... you didn't hear any of that unpleasant discussion about the school children, did you? Good,
no.
Okay. I don't want that. I don't want to color your impression of me or anything. Hey, is it today that the FCC is getting together to buzz like a bunch of blue-haired old women in front of a teapot about Janet Jackson's boob?
Not quite, Rick. Not quite. You've got the players right, I suppose. What happened is the FCC members came up and testified before two congressional committees. Lawmakers pretty outraged, you know, pounding the table, terrible thing, we got to do something about it. And the commission said, yeah, we agree with you, give us more authority to do more.
Okay. I mean, this may seem like a silly question, but upon what are they basing this idea that it's a terrible thing everyone is offended by? Because actually, USA Today, of all people, they had a poll this morning. USA Today, CNN, Gallup poll of adults who saw on the Super Bowl halftime live, the majority of people were not personally offended. There was, you know, there was, what, 40-some percent who were personally, but more than half of the people said they were not offended by it. And so is this the sort of thing that happens because the FCC's hearing from people, or is it just that they feel like they sort of got to do it because it's been so publicized?
It's a mix of both. The commission, in fact, said they received more than 200,000 complaints. Now, that's really not very many when you consider the millions, so tens of millions of people who watch the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're responding to political outcry, and I'm sure that's exactly what the lawmakers here are doing, because, of course, they get elected. The commission at least does not. So after hearing from constituents, they thought it would be a good idea, although I will say that the Senate hearing was scheduled before this flap happened anyway.
Did you see Mel Karmazan, who's from Viacom, of course, you know, the people behind the Howard Stern show, did you see that he was up there complaining that he was, I think, shocked and appalled was the phrase he used, which is a little interesting coming from someone who's built a large section of his company on strippers and lesbians.
Yeah, I think he was referring specifically to that incident, and I think that's the attitude you'd expect Mr. Karmazin to take. You know, I'm sorry, we didn't know this was going to happen, it won't happen again.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk primary stuff quickly, because I know that Kerry and Kerry won, I mean, it's Tennessee and I'm blanking on the other
Virginia.
One. Tennessee and Virginia. I know that Kerry won. Wesley Clark has now dropped out, right?
Yeah, he's going to announce that, I think, just in the next hour here, yeah.
So Clark, and I don't know to what extent you can even sort of speculate on this, but, I mean, doesn't it seem to you like Wesley Clark should have done a lot better than he did? I mean, he sort of had everything going for him. There's really no negatives, you know, in the sense of appealing to a broad section of America. There's really nothing about Wesley Clark that was a turnoff, it seems like, to people. It just seems like that's a guy who should have gotten a whole lot more traction than he really did. He had everything going for him. He ran NATO. He's a strong military record. He seems to be a decent public speaker. He plays to a lot of that sort of Democratic anger at the White House, but he just never seemed to get any traction. Is there any speculation on why that is?
Yeah, a lot of people felt, Rick, that he was not politically seasoned. And often what would happen in the course of a news cycle is Clark would either make some comment or react to something in the news, and then, of course, the media would go to work on it, and he'd end up having to explain himself. And a lot of his sort of misstatements and vague comments and so forth, you know, that was what the media started to focus on rather than anything he was saying about policy. I think that could have been avoided had he been around the track one time before, and if he runs for office again, I'm sure he'll do a lot better.
And unless I'm wrong about this, I know that in Tennessee, what, it was Edwards who was number two in Tennessee, and that may have been the case in both of them, was it?
Yes.
And so, I mean, it looks more and more likely that's a guy who's going to get... probably going to get a phone call about V, you know, whether he takes it or not, but he's going to get the phone call about being vice president, undoubtedly.
Well, I think that's a possibility. Don't rule out a surprise. Yes, they would like to have help. The Democrats would like to have help winning southern states, but, you know, these were just Democrats voting, don't forget.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It doesn't guarantee you that just because you have a southerner on the ticket, you're going to win a particular state.
It's true. And I have an endless sort of wellspring of, you know, I have a lot of confidence in the Democrats' ability to do things incorrectly at the last moment. Let me put it that way.
Well, you know, I heard somebody say there was talk about maybe Gephardt as the VP.
It's true. I mean, that's one of those things people talk about, too. I sort of have faith in the Democrats' ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, no matter how on the right path they may seem to be. I know that they can just snuff it at the last moment. That sort of seems to be their most marketable skill. So we'll kind of see how that happens. There you go. There's CNN radio correspondent John Bisney. We're going to do this and come back. We got more on the way, including Clergy Watch, Geek Watch, Brittany Watch, Chainsaw Injury, Shark Attack, Man Fed to Lions. It's all coming up. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Today. Can't you get it? Don't go anywhere.
Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah Dillon has the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503. How are you? It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, it's not a gang of retarded children. It's a gaggle or a herd. Get it right. All right, sorry about that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on, today's top five in the third hour of the show, top five rock and roll singers born in the month of February. We also got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Still to come, Brittany Watch, Geek Watch, Clergy Watch. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, the battle is on now in Massachusetts as crowds are gathering. Those who are against gay marriage and those who are for it.
The issue is everybody has to pay the same taxes. There's no reason that we shouldn't have the right to marry. I mean, it's a basic
liberal propaganda.
It's about love. We're all living in the same state, the same country. We should have the absolute equal rights.
And there are plenty of those who are against gay marriage.
It will cause chaos in Massachusetts.
They'll be looting and burning everywhere. All right. Whatever you say, friend. It's kind of our policy here that we don't want to spend time talking because it is the gay marriage thing, at least in Massachusetts and, you know, in some other places for at least the next couple of years, is what the French would call a fait accompli, meaning ain't nothing you can do to stop it, pal. I mean, you can hate it all you want. You can sit there and get your repressed religious knickers in a knot over it all day long, but there's nothing you can do to stop it. And it's going to happen in May, right? And that's something, May something or other. It starts
May,
in Massachusetts.
Well, you can register May 17th in Massachusetts, and then it takes 3 days with the blood thing to go through.
Yeah, so you, yeah. 20th. Because, and which is important because the timeline, I think, they're talking about Bush was floating the idea this morning of some constitutional amendment to stop it, but the thing is, that wouldn't take effect until like 2006 or something anyway. So,
right.
You know, everybody there who's against it, man, you're hosed. It's over. You've lost. Give it up.
Meanwhile, a lesbian couple is suing a San Diego country club, claiming it discriminated against them for not allowing them to take advantage of a policy that allows spouses of club members to play golf for free. An attorney for Bridget Corby and Kendall French told an appeals court yesterday that the club refused to allow the women the same golf privileges as married couples who fear the club would look gay-friendly. Apparently, one paid $18,000 to join the club in 1986. She and French have been partners for a decade. They own a home together. They filed suit against the club after attempts to change the policy run successfully.
You know, I don't understand. I mean, you talk about a group of people that have got all kinds of money to be spending, man.
Yeah.
And that's the way you go. You want to get all kinds of disposable. Man, speaking of lesbian chicks, let me just tell you about this. This one, and we want to thank Ruby, by the way, Gothic Beauty, who hooks us up with And you never realize how many dudes share your fascination with gothic chicks until you start getting copies of Gothic Beauty in the mail every month. And so this arrived this morning, and she always sends me 4 or 5 copies because she knows I'm a fan of the gothic chicks. But you never really realize how many guys kind of share. It's not really a fetish as such, but it is just sort of a predilection. And you don't really realize how common that is until you have several copies of a gothic chick magazine sitting on your desk, and then you get dudes come like, hey, can I snag one of those? Here's Tim Riley in the KHK newsroom.
Then a German actress was taken to a hospital after an artist injured her breast while trying to open her bra with a chainsaw. It was the worst moment of my life, I thought, said Sybil.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
The actress, former porn star Sybil Roch, told Bild newspaper. The chainsaw operator, performance artist Marco, told Roch to lie down during a rehearsal on Monday and suddenly bent toward her as she was applying the saw to her... Oh, he was applying the saw to her bra. I couldn't pull back the chainsaw quickly enough and cut her breast and stomach. It was terrible, he said. The hospital in Southwest Germany, where she was treated, declined to give details.
Yeah.
We're not authorized to comment on our plans.
I don't really know that I want any details. That's something I can do. I can go detailless.
The 40th anniversary edition of Sports Illustrated magazine swimsuit issue hits newsstands today. The pages of the 2004 issue include a few new faces, including Serena Williams. But what makes this issue unique is the SI Hall of Fame portrait featuring 11 of the swimsuit's most memorable faces and bodies, including Cheryl Teagues, Christy Brinkley, Ellie McPherson, Roshamba, Stacey Williams, Valerie Mazza, Tyra Banks, and Heidi Klum.
Isn't Heidi Klum's a German one, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Isn't she German? Isn't Roshamba that game where you kick each other in the nuts? Isn't that what that is?
I thought that was football.
I don't know. It's Manchester United. Well, never mind. You know, here's the thing that guys don't talk about. We'll do it later. I have an observation about Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Let's do the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch.
High-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... And just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit! You got it?
There it does.
The Simpsons heading to the big screen. News at the Simpsons will star in their own movie. Confirmed by one of the TV show's original producers, Mike Rice, during an interview with DVDFanatic.com. He said the idea has been talked about since season 2. Finally, after 13 years, executives at Fox give the show's producer the green light to write the series. He'll work in a handful of TV series projects. Although Rice will not divulge any information about what the film is about, he says fans will love the stories that the writers cook up. He anticipates the Simpsons movie will hit theaters by summer or Christmas 2006.
I got several thoughts on this. First of all, they should have done it a few years ago when the show was still funny. So, I mean, not that The Simpsons isn't good, but I mean, it's not good by Simpsons standards. You know, it's good compared to everything else, but it's like when your competition is Will and Grace. I mean, what does it really take to be funny, you know? So it's too bad they couldn't have done this when the show was at its creative zenith, which was a few years back. Secondly, it's too bad that Trey and Matt already beat them to it with the South Park movie, because the obvious thing for a Simpsons movie would be to make it a musical. Because, I mean, that's always been one of the hallmarks of The Simpsons, you know, is it that they've got such great, you know, songs and great musical installments, they do that. Thirdly, the fact that they give the shows, what is it, the show's creators at the, quote, green light?
Yes.
You know, the fact that Matt Groening even has to ask those guys, Henry nailed this exactly on the nose about 8 months ago. He was talking about The Simpsons. You know what? They ought to have a big bronze statue of Matt Groening, and all the guys at Fox should have to go kiss its ass every day, literally. Just a big statue of Matt Groening's ass, and they should just have to go and just kiss it every day and say, thank you. Thank you, Matt Groening, for saving our, you know, paper mache network.
Doesn't Miramax have one of those with Tarantino?
Because Tarantino's got all kinds of special privileges there. Whereas it was all Groening could do to keep Futurama on the air for 3 or 4 years, because they kept trying to, man, they were trying to kill that thing in the womb, you know what I mean? No, I won't say it. I'm just gonna say though that there's a special place in hell, you know, for people that mistreat folks like Matt Groening, because that guy saved an entire network. I mean, he saved a freaking network with The Simpsons. Without The Simpsons and Married with Children, you know, freaking Fox would have been off the air 10 years ago. So, anyway. So, Simpsons, but when is it, 2006?
Yes.
Excellent. Good stuff. There's your Geek Watch. We'll do this. Hammer. We'll come back.
By
Don't go anywhere.
By the sons of Warband, I shall avenge you.
Next.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You know, Edwards kind of looks like a Fisher-Price man. He's kind of got that weird hair that's sort of plasticked in place.
You have this strange fascination with him.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Somebody,
there's my favorite guy.
Dean?
Yeah.
Are you? Is it because you're attracted to him?
No.
Oh, come on.
I'm really not.
Chicks, no, chicks, you know, can I just tell
he's
you this?
So, he's
chicks dig
looking.
Howard. Yeah. Chicks dig Howard Dean. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, you look at, you know, I was reading this Newsweek article about the, you know, the various, you know, the breakouts of who was working for various candidates, and they noted that the people who were working to support Dean were, you know, they were very young, and they were almost overwhelmingly female. I mean, the number of people on Dean's, you know, sort of like his grassroots team that were chicks, it was like 80%. Because chicks dig him, you know why? Because he's, that's a guy that didn't take any guff. Spank your ass and call you Sally. That's what he'll do.
You scare me.
Or things like that. Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yes, this is disgusting.
Hot Talk.
And now, something completely different.
1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson. Only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KHK Newsroom.
Well, three 11-year-old Garden Grove, California girls are charged with conspiracy after wrongly accusing transient Eric Nordmark of molesting them. They made up the story to get one of their friends out of trouble for coming home late from her boyfriend's. An 11-year-old with a boyfriend? The wrongly accused man forgives them, though.
Kids are kids. I've done bonehead things when I was a kid, but they shouldn't have let it snowball into the... I don't think they realized how serious of a...
Now, see, they ought to be strung up by their Buster Browns is what they ought to be.
But he has one request.
I also would like from the Garden Grove Police Department to apologize to my mother. My mother is one, has been through more... Her ordeal was probably worse than mine.
Well, the Westminster Dog Show is over. Black Lab won first prize, but Molly the Sheepdog had a respectable showing, Jeannie Most reports.
From beauty to the beast. Around here, even a dog that looks like a mop has a shot at wiping up the competition. So Adele brought Molly down from her home in Ontario, Canada, a young sheepdog with a few wins already under her collar.
She comes into the house and she runs up and down in front of the other dogs. Nanner, 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 I was at a show and I won.
But no one expected a win at Westminster. Okay, maybe it was only best in breed. Molly didn't go all the way. But this is one sheepdog who'd rather show than lie around counting sheep.
She won! She won!
Jeannie Most, CNN, New York.
I hate that woman and everything about her. Not Jeannie Most, the dog show woman. And I'm just going to let that speak for itself. There's really no words.
Time for the clergy watch.
Here's your clergy watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Boah.
Every girl, I got a body like you, girl. Cause I gotta have faith.
The scope of sex abuse accusations against Roman Catholic Church clergy since 1950 appears to be much greater than previously estimated by victim groups and the media. The church will make an unprecedented nationwide accounting of abuse claims and costs later this month, but some bishops already have started releasing local figures. The AP contacted dioceses across the country and found that 1,341 clergy members have been accused of molesting minors, and with more than half the dioceses yet to report, so that's only half. What it's really doing is showing us in black and white that the public is much worse than we originally thought.
So that's with only half the precincts reporting. We've got 1,100 counts of priests buggering small children. Right, 1,100?
No, 1,341. I like to see one of those on the church marquee.
it's like 99 billion served.
21 molested.
There's your clergy watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. You got to admit, you know, you got to hand it to the Catholic Church that they just sort of, you know, they sort of, you know, find a goal and they go for it. You know, they know what they want to do and they pursue it single-mindedly. It's a sort of determination sadly lacking in American society.
Lifeguards at a beach north of Sydney couldn't believe their eyes when a man walked with a small shark attached to his leg. This guy swam 1,000 feet to shore, walked to his car, and drove to a local surf club with a 23-inch shark biting his leg and refusing to let go. I've never seen anything like it, he said. He was snorkeling on a reef near this beach in Newcastle when he got attacked. Once he got to shore, a couple of people tried to help him, but they couldn't remove it, so it stuck there. So I got into my car when I drove to the clubhouse. Luckily, the guys down there had a clue what to do. Apparently, he had this shark in tow. So what do? They flushed the shark's gill with fresh water, forcing it to loosen its grip on the leg. With blood oozing out from 70 needle-like punctures, the shark later died.
Oh, by the way, we want to give condolences to the two-headed baby, which snuffed.
Oh, yeah, over the weekend.
We didn't do a snuff watch on that because it's just, you know, it wasn't very timely. But, yeah, the two-headed baby failed to pull through, although it does sort of seem to be happening with greater and greater frequency. So, I mean, probably another one coming down the pike, you know, not too long from now. Just, you know, be listening for that.
As a matter of fact, if you were in my City Desk column over the weekend, you would have known.
In fact,
change the news all the time.
I want to read Tim Riley's very own weblog that rolls. It's access it at rickemerson.com. Go to rickemerson.com. There's a link on the left-hand side. We have something short here?
Yes, we do. Lou Rawls has settled a lawsuit with a woman who never found another love like his. Apparently, she gave up her business to become his mistress, and now he's paying Margaret Schaefer $35,000 to settle a $12 million lawsuit. He just wants to get her out of his life.
Is Lou Rawls... I don't know who Lou Rawls is. He's one of those cultural references that I hear people talk about.
70s and 80s?
It's you know, it's like that thing with Johnny Mathis, where I sort of had a vague idea who he was, but I didn't really know.
Lou Rawls is definitely black.
Lou Rawls, but he's not dead.
No, he's alive.
Okay.
See, these are all things mistresses.
These were all things I didn't know.
Seems like his mistress kind of sold herself short there, though, because $12 million lawsuit, $35,000 settlement.
It is true.
All really right. Giving up.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. More coming up, including a Britney watch. We're going to talk about the 20 of 5 sexiest moments in television, according to Blender. We got today's top 5 coming up as well later on, and all of that stuff. Not to bring the room down, we do want a big kind of a farewell to a guy named Scott Tyler, who's a big fan of the Rick Emerson Show, but most importantly was a good guy on top of that, and who passed away over the weekend and will be missed by a lot of people. So, Scott Tyler, farewell, man. Rest in peace. We'll miss you. Thank you for being there when you were. And we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk to Nettie KFTK. Stay there.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
101, Tim Riley with the news, brought to you by Allstate Insurance Company. Are you a safe driver? Allstate can save you big money on your auto insurance. Restrictions apply. Offered with Allstate Company, Allstate Property, and Casualty, Northbrook, Illinois. Where county commissioners listen as people praised and criticized an agreement between the county and the Cowlitz Indian Tribe. Commissioners delayed a decision on the agreement till next week, but made one thing clear. Further delays are not an option. Beginning tomorrow, the Vancouver Bridge over the Columbia Slough in Portland will close to repair. And it'll be closed to all vehicle traffic till the end of the month. But if you're riding a bike or pedestrian, you can use it. A 42-year-old Hubbard man has been hit and killed by a school bus carrying a student basketball team in Colton. Thankfully, none of the team members were hurt. Portland Metro forecast, mostly clear today, highs mid-50s. Clear tonight, windy around the gorge. Sunny again tomorrow, rain coming in Friday, though. Tim Riley, KOTK News.